Well, good morning. My name's Fred. Some of you I haven't met. Some of you I have. I'm actually putting this up here just so that I have a better idea for the time. But I will actually pay attention to it. So a couple of us talked to Seth, and he shared a little bit about with the new baby, with his mom coming in, things going on with his family. Just want to give him some time off, not off as far as not work, not as vacation time, but as far as taking care of the message and stuff. And believe me, going through this, there's a lot to take care of the message. So unfortunately, I was the last one to say not it, so you're stuck with me. So let's pray. So Father God, we just invite you here, your Holy Spirit. Lord, we are all in different places. You know, some of us may not even really know that much about you. Maybe certainly have reservations about you and how you want to work in our lives. Some of us may have been walking with you for years, and Lord, you're kind of moving us into another area. Lord, this morning, just as I share, Lord, let it be your words. Let your words sink deep into our hearts. Lord, plant them deep. You know, words for me, Lord, if they're just for man, just let them evaporate. But Lord, we invite you here. We just give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So my style is a little different than Seth's. I'm more, I would call myself more of a teacher than a preacher. And I tend to get my energy from a group. So this is going to go one of two ways. I'll be interactive and ask you questions, and hopefully we'll respond, and I'll get energy from that, and you'll get energy from me, and it'll kind of be a positive thing. Or I will ask you a question and you won't respond and I won't get so much energy, and then you're not getting more energy from me. And then it's going to go one of two ways. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to go. But just the way I'm more of an engineering type. I'm not an engineer by trade. God wired me as an engineer. So I'm more of a prove it kind of guy, you know, through my whole life as well. So with that, here's my first, I'll clue you in, because some of you are like, well, this is church. I'm supposed to just sit here, and you're supposed to entertain me or something. Not so much. So here's my first question is, how many, and if you don't go with the crowd, okay, I'm asking you these questions. I want you to respond as you, not, hey, this is what I think Fred wants me to answer, or hey, this is what my neighbor's answering, so this must be right. But for you, how many of you believe that Jesus knows more about your life than you do? So if you believe that, wow, okay, a lot of people do that. So how many of you believe that Jesus knows what's best for your life and he wants what's best for your life? Okay, not quite as many hands, but still quite a few. How many believe that Jesus wants you to grow your faith in him no matter where you're at? Okay, so I'd say about three-quarters of the room, and thank you for being honest, okay, because a quarter of you were the most honest. I don't know if the other ones that were raising their hand were honest or not, but wherever we are in our faith walk, God wants to walk with us and us to grow in that area. Some of us, as I prayed, some of us may not even know this whole God thing. Hey, I'm here because I had a good time at Fire and Friends. They invited me last night, and I've made this commitment. I'd be here, and now I'm here, and I'm not really sure why I'm here. We're glad you're here, because God's certainly working there. For someone, just in case, I've got nine of these cards. When that last card goes in my pocket, we're all going to be a lot happier, okay? But wherever we're at in our faith walk, some of us may have just accepted Christ, started our faith walk 6 months ago, a year ago, so it's kind of new for us. Some of us, maybe 5 or 10 years, some of us for decades, wherever that is, Jesus wants us to grow in that faith. And I know for me, and probably for you, I don't know that for sure, but for me, my faith tends to grow more in the challenging times of my life than the easy parts. Now, and I wish that wasn't true, because this is the other thing I wish wasn't true. I want to lose 20 pounds, and I want to eat as many s'mores and stuff, and I don't want to exercise, and I want to lose 20 pounds. Unfortunately, that doesn't work that way. And my faith, what I find, doesn't grow just on its own. It's typically those challenges. How many of you are single in here? That doesn't mean you're challenged. Just how many of you are single? Nobody? Okay, a couple. Okay, some in the front row. that can be a challenge, okay? Because actually, I'm a slow learner. Some of you already know me, and so yeah, that's very true. I didn't actually allow Jesus as Lord of my life until I was in my 20s, okay? Some of you may have been later than that. A lot of you were probably a lot sooner than that. But when I was single, that's when I received Christ. And that time was a challenging time because I didn't necessarily want to be single. But it was a great time for me to dig into God's Word and God to come really close to me through His Holy Spirit. And I was able to come close to other Christians. I grew more in my faith in that 5 or 6 years. And again, I had come off of a divorce. My ex-wife and myself weren't Christians at the time. God just worked in me through that time. And it was a good growing time. It was hard, but it was good. How many of you are parents? Okay, whether your kids are at home or not, I can tell the ones that the kids aren't home because they're the ones that are really smiling. Parenthood it has its challenging times. Grandparenthood is even better, but it's during those challenging times. And what I found was, as a parent, it really opened my eyes to my relationship with God, my Father, and me. To me and my children. There was just some things that as I was single, I didn't get it. But as I was, even when I got married, and getting married to Susan was not any of my challenge time. But as we had kids, it certainly became more challenging, and my faith grew in that way. How many of you have gone through job loss? 3 years ago, I was there. And one of the areas that I grew the most was during that time, that it was those challenging times. You know, again, through divorce, through losing a loved one. Those are challenging times, but that's when God really wants to draw even closer to, and to be honest, it's when I want to draw closer to God. He is always wanting to draw closer to me. It's just during those challenging times, I tend to open up my heart a little bit more and say, hey, God, I really need you now. So what I want to talk about, you know, is our faith on the move, but specifically wanted to talk about I wanted to talk more about in our going. In our going, we take Jesus along with us to grow our faith. You know, and we know, yep, Seth already kind of talked about, well, Fred's going to talk about go make disciples. He wants us to make disciples, not just to help others grow, but to help us grow as well. So what I want to do is actually take a look at God's Word. So go ahead, Lyle. There's actually 5 verses here, so there's going to be 3 slides. I want to read these together, okay? So he said, well, yeah, but Fred, you're getting paid the big bucks to do this. Yeah, not so much. But let's read this together. This is, again, Matthew 28:16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus has designated. And then they saw him. They worshiped him, but some doubted that it was really he. Jesus came up and said to them, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe everything that I have said. Lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. That actually comes from the Amplified Bible. I use that on purpose because these verses, for some of us, are very familiar. And I know when I get into very familiar verses, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. Let me scroll my favorite football team. Let me check my news feed. We're going to go back and look at these in much more detail. And all the Amplified version is, and the reason I laugh is, that's actually the version I used when I was new to the faith, because it takes the Greek. And believe it or not, the Bible wasn't written in English. You know, they weren't writing to folks. The New Testament was written in Greek. And so there's these translations, and the Amplified tries to take what they're really trying to say, because the Greek word, there may not be an exact word in the English that fit. So that's why I like the Amplified. My wife and kids call it the Wordy Bible because it adds words for clarification. So anyway, we're using the Wordy Bible. And like I said, it's a familiar verse. And so to help with some of the familiarity, I want to do a pop quiz as I'm going through this. Okay, so I keep you on your toes. So if you're going through your news feed and there's a pop quiz, it's uh-oh. Now, good news is it's self-scoring, and there's nothing to turn in. So if you want to compare yourself next to the person next to you, you can keep score that way. I'm not keeping score. But the first question is who wrote the book of Matthew? The questions get harder after this. Who wrote the book of Matthew? Matthew, okay. So who was Matthew? What did he do? He's a tax collector. Yeah, and you know when you say IRS here, it's not like, oh, that's not really good. Well, tax collectors back then were even worse because they worked for the Roman government. Nobody liked the Roman government, and they took kind of off the top. So where we fill out our form and it says, hey, you owe this much tax, we may not like that, they didn't have the form. So you didn't really know how much you owed. The tax collector told you. And so if you really owed $500 to the Roman government, they'd say, hey, Gary, you owe $800. Gary gives me $800, I give $500 to the Roman government, and I keep, it's not a bad gig if you can get it. But it wasn't real popular. So that's Matthew. Jesus called Matthew as one of his 12 apostles. What was Matthew's given name? I'll give you a clue. It wasn't Matthew. It's sort of like Simon, you know, was called Simon, and Jesus changed his name to Peter, okay? Well, his given name was Levi. So his given name was Levi. Jesus changed his name to Matthew. He said, well, I didn't know that. Well, at least one thing you learned today, okay? In the selection of apostles, where did Matthew fit? You know, there's 12. You know, where did he fit? So, man, these questions are really getting complicated. I thought it was going to be fun. He's actually by the middle. He was like number 7. So what we're hearing, this is Matthew's view. Matthew was one of the 12, so it's an eyewitness account of what was going on there. And so I want to go back to those verses, starting with verse 16 and dig into a little bit. Now the 11 disciples, well, wait a minute, I thought there were 12. So why is there 11? Yeah, Judas is gone. So for those of you that, Jesus, and Seth shared with us, Jesus went to the cross to die for you and to die for me, okay? And he did. And then 3 days later was raised to life, was resurrected by God the Father into a resurrected body, which Seth talked to us about a couple weeks ago. And so, and was on the earth for about 6 weeks. Okay, so this wasn't like, hey, showed up to these 11, this one incident, and that's it. He actually showed up to like 500 people. There's a lot of proof that this happened, all right? But now he's with the 11. They went up to Galilee. So Jesus was crucified in the city of Jerusalem, okay? And he shows back up and tells folks, hey, hang out with me in Galilee. And so the disciples go up to Galilee. It's about a 70-mile trek to Galilee. So it's sort of like Seth says, hey, let's do service in Galveston next weekend, okay? It'll be a little inconvenient for them. They didn't have a car, so it's probably a 2 or 3 day trek to get to Galilee. So why Galilee? I mean, that's a question, because a lot of you have read this and said, yeah, why? Don't really know. Other than this is where their ministry started in Galilee. This is where their roots are. And for some of you, you know, you may have been involved in the church. I've gotten hurt in the church. Personally, I didn't have a lot of need for a church growing up, and I actually had a lot of problems with churches, which is one of the reasons I wasn't until 22 till I actually received Christ. And so he's taking them away from, where was the church in Jesus' day? It was in Jerusalem. Who did Jesus have the most arguments with? It was the religious people in the church. He's taking them away from this. Say, hey, let's hang out, let's go up to Galilee. So I don't even know what mountain he's at. But when they saw him, they worshiped him, which would be appropriate, okay? But some doubted. Have you ever doubted? I mean, because as a Christian, it's like, oh, I'm not so sure about that. And these are the 11 that have hung out with him for 3. Now, why did they doubt? Maybe he was a way off coming up the mountain. Hey, I'm not sure that's really him. Oh, yeah, that's really him. Maybe it was in his resurrected body. If you remember, Mary Magdalene didn't really recognize him at first. But some wasn't sure it was him. But they worshiped. Verse number 16, 17, 18 are kind of setting this up. So Jesus came up to them and said, all authority, and this is what I like about the Amplified Bible, not easy to read, but great for clarification, all power of absolute rule. Isn't that, I mean, wouldn't you like to come home and say, I have all power and absolute, yeah, they throw you out of the house probably, but in heaven and all, he's got all power and absolute rule. And so here's the, and it's been given to me by, see, this is the interaction. Who gave him this absolute power and rule? God the Father. He says, it's all you. The kingdom is yours. You went to the cross. You did everything. The kingdom is yours. You have absolute power and rule. And so then Jesus, here's the meat. So now this is where you get to wake up, is go therefore and make disciples. This is the interesting thing about the Greek. If you read this in the Greek, it would say, in your going, go make disciples. Here's our Western thing is, okay, well, I go to work, I go play, I go worship, I go do other things, and then I go make disciples. It's one of my things on my checklist. What Jesus is saying is, in your going to work, in your going to play, into going where you live, into going when you worship, make disciples. So it's not another thing. It is, this is the way I want you to live. Okay, now, we don't get this perfect, obviously, as disciples didn't, but it's how do we help people along their faith journey? Because the Holy Spirit certainly works, but we impact people's lives too, much more than any of us really think. Because let's face it, we all know the world rotates around us. Yeah, me. Very good. So the one honest person in the room. And in our heart of hearts, you know, we know that in our minds that not to be true, but in our heart of hearts, that's really true. I mean, it's the way I live, watch me drive, watch me in the grocery line. I tend to be, and Jesus saying, no, help make disciples in where you live. Helping people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey in my word. So it really is a step, because we kind of get it, as we know Christ for a long time, we kind of get it backwards. Well, we are really good at judging people, okay? And believe me, that breaks Jesus' heart when we do that. But I'm great at it because I want people to obey, okay? And we tend to want people to obey, do the right thing, but they can't if they don't learn. If they don't know, they can't obey, and they certainly can't believe. So it really is help them to learn, help them to believe, and then help them to obey. Baptizing them, we know what that's about, okay? Seth shared a little bit about baptism. So baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you're new to the faith, that was one of the things. When I went to college, so this was before my 20s, I actually took pride into going to revivals they'd have at school. But I wouldn't go into the revival. I would sit on the outside, and I would do what I call pick off Christians. I would ask them, so tell me about this Trinity thing. That's kind of the churchy word for the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. How can three things be one thing? And they'd get, so I was one of those guys that you said, man, I hope I don't ever meet that guy. But it was because if you believe it, because of my engineering mind, prove it, okay? And so how can three things be one thing? That has come to haunt me in a good way. Even now, Jesus will say, you remember when you asked that question? Here's the answer. Not that I've gotten all the answers, for sure. But for those of you that have struggled like me, of how can one thing be three things and three things be one thing? This isn't a great analogy, but what he gave me is it's like water. Okay, most of the world is water. 60% of your body is water. And it's interesting that he uses water to baptize. And this is the analogy he gave me. Like tonight, when this gets below 30 degrees, what happens to it? It freezes and turns into ice. So is ice water? Okay, try and drink it. If I instantly froze this chunk of ice and gave it to you and said, drink it, and you put it in your mouth and tried to drink it, what would you do? You would choke. You would die. So ice isn't water, because you can drink water. You can't drink ice. Okay? But wait a minute. Where does ice come from? It comes from water. Good. I agree with you. So if I get this to 215 degrees, I know 212 is boiling, but 215 degrees, what happens to it? It steams, okay? And a lot of turbines, a lot of power are driven by steam. Actually, steam is more powerful than water to drive turbines, make energy, things like that. That's the engineering side. And so if I get to this to 215, 230, 250 degrees, and you try to drink it, what's going to happen? You will burn your throat. It will, and you'll die, okay? So here's, I don't know, isn't that uplifting? He's just such an uplifting sermon. So here's water that's ice, steam. Steam's not water. Ice is not water, but it is, okay? But there's three different things in one thing. And so God, which made water the most thing, do you think he could figure out how to make three things into one thing? My God did. I used to challenge that. I used to have to understand that. But he did. And so he in my growth, even now I get convicted of being in front of these other college kids and just literally crucifying them. But he is so big. Because I don't understand him, that's what makes him my God. Because if I understood him, how big would he really be? As big as me. Not that big. So anyway, sorry for the emotion, because God just grabs me that way sometimes. But it goes on and goes on to verse 20. So then teaching them, you know, and so it's not teaching them in a classroom per se, but teaching them through our living to observe everything that he's commanded. Not the law as much as his love. Not about going and do stuff right as much as it is have a relationship with them. And even when I don't take him in my going, guess what? He's still there. It ends up, I am with you always, perpetually. That's a big word. What's perpetually mean? On and on and on and on, forever and forever and forever and forever, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the occasion, I'm there with you to the end of the, until he comes back, he's with me. Whether I take it consciously or not, he's with me. I want to share an example with you. This has probably happened a year and a half ago. I'm actually going to put a whole group of these cards in my pocket. For those of you that were starting to get concerned, if he hasn't put a card in his pocket in a while. I wanted to share an example with you that actually lived out in my life about, I don't know, a year and a half ago. We're actually going to a church group meeting, a small group meeting with other Christians. And Susan wanted to stop at Walmart to pick up a couple things. I don't even remember what the couple things were. But for me, being 1 minute late, it's not the 10th commandment, but it should be the 11th commandment, okay? And so it's like, okay, well, I think we have time to get in there and get this done. And so we go in there, pick up our item. We are in great shape. Susan sometimes we disagree on the way shopping works. Say, shopping is you go in, you get what you want, you come out, and that's shopping. Well, sometimes that's not always the case with her, but it was this day, and it worked great. So we went into the express lane only, 14 items or less, and there's this lady in front of us that probably didn't have 100 items, but it certainly looked like 100 items. And so in my most Christian whisper, I looked back to Susan and said, what's this lady doing? Can't she count? Why is the cashier allowing her to do that? I'm sure I'm the only one that's ever had this conversation. But it was my best Christian whisper with a smile. And so I was judging very well. And then she pulls out her checkbook, and she says, oh, great, she's going to pay by a check. Now she got to go through the identification thing. It's going to take more time. You know, and then she says, gets the total. She says, I can't afford all of that. I'm going to have to put a couple items back. You're going to, what? You know, I've got a Christian meeting to be at, you know, and I was flustered. Okay, well, right after that, God's Holy Spirit, because he's with us perpetually, just revealed to me, you know what? This was a great opportunity for you to share your faith. What if you would have actually said, hey, I'll be glad to pay for that, those a couple items. And I could have. I certainly had the finances to do that. I could have done that. Certainly would have witnessed more to her. Certainly would have witnessed more to that cashier. Certainly would have witnessed more to Susan. And so I don't get it right. You don't get it right. But when I blow it, God's still there to forgive us and to be with us. Because in our going, he wants us to take Jesus with him to grow our faith, but to also grow the faith of other people. So into my engineering, I want to kind of, I have to have a diagram. The old saying, a picture's worth 1,000 words. Well, I'm not the 1,000 word guy. Give me the picture. So, and Seth talked about this last week, and it really starts with our identity in God, again, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's that relationship with him and the relationship with others. But then it starts with, which would be the next slide, is that we just start to learn about Jesus. So, again, and it's through this relationship with God. And I'm not going to walk in front of the speaker, Kelton, so don't get nervous back there. But that little asterisk, it's the relationship with other people and God that helps me to start learn. And that may be where you're at, is, hey, I don't know this Jesus guy. I don't know that even what Fred's saying is true. Believe me, for me, it's true. I'm the engineer. I got to prove it. And then I'm not saying that's the right way, but for me, that's, if you got questions, I would love to meet you over here in this corner and at least share with you what God's revealed. He hasn't revealed everything. I'm certainly not the all-knowing. But if you're learning of Jesus, I would love to go on that trip with you. There are other people in this room that would like to help that. I know Seth would. It's not on your own. And believe me, your Heavenly Father sent his son so that you'll learn about him and have a relationship with him. So that's kind of where what I'm sharing is basically Matthew 28, 16 through 20 as in a diagram from an engineering kind of guy. The second step is kind of we learn of him, and then we actually kind of, it's a step of faith. We actually, okay, Jesus, I don't have everything figured out. And believe me, in my 20s, I didn't have it all figured out. But God's Holy Spirit spoke, and I said, okay, if you're true, I'm stepping into this. And I did. And many of you did. And then this believe in baptism thing. And so if you haven't been baptized or if your children haven't been baptized, I would strongly encourage you to have a conversation with Seth about that. Because Jesus says it. It is a mystery, but he says it multiple places. Make sure that we, as a Christian, we call that salvation. Okay, that's a Christianese. Third step is, and some of us get stuck there. It's kind of a cool, emotional thing. But then we should move on, again, with our relationship with the Holy Spirit and other people, is to learn to live for Jesus, learn his teachings, learn his examples, learn about him. You know, for me, that was years. And then kind of the last step is, in our going, is take along Jesus to grow our faith, where we're starting to role model folks. And you'll notice at that phase, we actually ought to start helping other people learn about Jesus. We ought to start helping other people believe and understand about the importance of baptism. We really ought to be helping people to learn and live through Jesus, because a lot of us will get stuck at step three, too. And so in our going, as Jesus said, in our going, take Jesus along with us to grow our faith and to help grow the faith of other people. Would you pray with me? Father God, I don't know. You are so great, and I don't know how well any of this came across. So, Lord, anything from me, just for me as a person, evaporate it. But, Lord, words from you, dig them deep into our hearts. Plant those seeds. And, Lord, give folks the courage and the insight to continue to move forward in our faith journey with you. We just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory for the way that you have worked in our lives, even though we don't understand it all. The way that you are working in our lives, even though we don't understand it all. And the Lord, the way you'll work in our lives in the future. We, again, give you all the praise and glory for who you are. In your son's name we pray. Amen.